So Darwin sat on his ideas for years. He was finally shocked out of his self-imposed intellectual exile by his receipt in 1858 of an essay from Alfred Russel Wallace outlining the entire theory of natural selection. Now, Darwin knew it. A lot of people had thought about evolution before, but he thought he was the only one who came with natural selection. And natural selection he viewed as his great discovery. And every scientist is interested in priority. He was spending all this time to come up with a perfect grand idea, and he was going to publish it in a grand book that would make his idea irrefutable. And now Alfred Russel Wallace had come up with a whole idea. Now, Wallace was very different than Darwin in many ways. He didn't come from a wealthy family. He was just the opposite part of British society. He came from a very poor family in rural England. But he was very bright, and he had developed a passion for natural history when he was just a kid. It was his outlet from this gloomy life that he lived. Sort of like it had been for Darwin, off in this expensive private school. The study of natural history became an outlet. And both of them, interestingly, their first love was beetles, of all things. Now, Wallace looked for a way out. He was smart. He was able. He had a knack for collecting as few people have ever had. And so he figured up a way out. He couldn't afford to just go along on a 5-year natural history expedition. He'd never been to a university. He'd never really been educated. But he knew plants and animals. So he figured out he would go and become a natural history specimen collector. He'd go for hire to pick up specimens for museums and scientists. And he took this. He first went to the Amazon Valley, and then he went over to the East Indies. Now, unlike Darwin, who was naturally conservative and a capitalist, Wallace was radical in his political, social, and religious views. This is sort of normal of somebody able who grows up in a repressed society of Britain at that time. And he, from the very outset, believed in the theory of evolution over creation, because that's what radicals did. People who didn't believe in the established religion, people who didn't believe in the established social order, those people liked creationism because the world was stagnant and created in a good way. He didn't see the world as a good way. He thought the world was unfair. He didn't like religion the way it was generally established because it lorded it over him. So he believed in evolution as the alternative view, as many radicals did. That was the sort of the basis. The people who were evolutionists before Darwin tended to be the political and social radicals. And though Wallace looked for an escape to move to the place because he preferred being in Brazil or the East Indies collecting, went there for that reason, but he also went there to try to prove the theory of evolution. He had an idea that if species evolved, then the different species should be found nearby the original species. If God created them, you know, two different similar sort of finches might be any old place. But if they'd evolved, they should be near each other. They should have evolved from a common geography. So he went to the tropic regions where he knew there were lots of species, lots more species than there were in a place like England, trying to see, not only to collect and make a living, but to see if they were closely related, closely nearby each other. Geographic distribution would be his evidence for evolution. And he saw that, and he kept collecting that. But he, like Darwin, once Darwin had adopted the theory of evolution, he was obsessed with finding a sufficient mechanism to drive the evolutionary process. And during a malarial fever, when he was in the East Indies in 1858, it suddenly hit on him. He remembered Malthus's ideas of survival of the fittest and overpopulation, and the whole idea came to him. Unlike Darwin, who struggled for years to get it right, it just came to Wallace, a prepared mind, of course. He believed in evolution and been obsessing with how it could have operated. The whole theory came to him. And he immediately wrote it down very rapidly in an essay describing his whole theory of natural selection. And he took it and he sent it off to Darwin. Where Darwin had spent years, Wallace had spent a few hours. He sent it to Darwin. Why in the world did he send it to Darwin? Well, where else would he send it? He wasn't a known scientist. And he knew Darwin was interested in these basic ideas. Darwin had hired him to collect certain things. And so Darwin might be an open avenue to get this radical idea out. He thought Darwin might be open to it. He had no idea that Darwin believed in evolution or that he had an idea of natural selection. Darwin gets this letter, this complete description of his own theory. He opens it up and he reads it, my theory, written by somebody else. What was he going to do? He had waited too long and his priority had been stolen. So he went to Charles Lyell, one of the very few people. Darwin had only told his theory of evolution to three people before this. He took it to Charles Lyell, showed who he'd explained his ideas to, and showed him Wallace's idea, and Lyell came up with the idea, publish them both. He published one of Charles Darwin's earlier drafts along with Wallace's theory, his essay, in 1858. And the idea was out. It had been announced. Then Darwin immediately went to work with great vigor to pull his whole idea into a book with all his defenses. That book he was able to publish the next year, 1859, On the Origin of the Species was its title. And that book would revolutionize biological thought.